we know from the book of James here that really what James is saying to us, he's saying get real. Its purpose is to make sure that we're doing the right thing, not good things. And one of the purposes of Newfield Community Church is that we were doing the right thing before God. But that's only one right thing. The next right things is what we've been taught about, is changing our values, our culture, the way we are with each other. And we've heard over recent weeks, bang, 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 hard teaching about the way we should be with one another. Because quite frankly, what James is saying is that if we don't get it right together, then we're not going to get it right out there. So this is where we are. And this part of chapter 5 is no exception to the hard teaching. Because it means that we've got to change our attitudes and the way we are. The thing about Scripture, as you know, in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that Scripture is God-breathed. And it's useful for teaching and rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God can be thoroughly equipped. That's what's happening to us now. Well, not quite with me now here. But if we look at the teaching, the way that it's mapping out with James and what's gone before, is that exactly what it is? We're being corrected, we're being trained, but we are being rebuked as well, because some of us know that we have an attitude that's not right with God. And James is teaching us to rely on Scripture. And that's something that we're seeing in the church today is missing. That in a lot of churches, it's about almost like life coaching. It's about prosperity. It's about moving on, but actually sometimes it misses out the hard bits, which is suffering, which is waiting, all of those things that come up in this part of James. Scripture is important for us. It's not about ourselves so much, but the witness of Scripture in our lives is to show the world that God is at work in all of us, not just on a Sunday morning, but it's when we look at someone and think, "Ooh, I don't like what she's wearing," down to being, you know, "I hate you," same thing. We need to see that we are living the life of Scripture. And if we're not doing that, and I know I struggle, this past few weeks I've had a sort of a dip in what I'd say is my mental health. And as some of you know, that I've suffered serious depression and I had to leave my job because of that. But that doesn't mean to say God doesn't love me. That's just a dip in my circumstances, but that does impact on how I see God and how I see my life. Kat mentioned earlier about, you know, we had a great holiday, come back, everything is rubbish. And so you start piling on and heaping up and up and up the things that the devil wants to put to us, the lies that says you're rubbish, the lies to say that, oh, you know, that person over there, you know, well, you know what I mean, don't you? Because we're all human, and human nature is one of the killers of true faith. But in all parts of our lives, we need to understand how to cope when it's hard to wait, hard to be patient, hard to deal with suffering, hard to deal with worry, hard to deal with anger, hard to deal with hurt. And that's just to name a few unpleasant attributes of daily life. Coral can tell you that the sort of probably a number of things about me, when she asks me to do something, I go, "What?" You know, that sort of stuff. We all do it. Some of us sort of are saying, sort of having this visage of being wonderful. And yet underneath we're going, "Why don't you clear off?" You know. We do it, don't we? We do it. It's the way we are. We are very adept at putting on a face. And we're very good at putting on a face when we're suffering. There's certain sort of elements of the Christian world, which sort of, and it's all to do with prosperity and everything being hunky-dory, that if you're just 1% off the Uber scale, then you're failing and you're in sin. That worries me, because the Bible is full of people who fail, but yet they repent and God blesses. Israel is like, isn't it? Israel's like that. Israel, blessed by God, do something stupid, fail, God forgives. That's their cycle, isn't it? We are a type of Israel in that respect. But there's one thing here is that James is saying, and you can read in there, it says there are four things. One is about being patient. Wait patiently. And in those first verse 7, you've got it. Wait patiently, right? Then they talk about patiently letting and be patient. Now, if someone says to you something three times, there's something in that, isn't there? Scripture's full of repetition. Don't do this because, or do this because. Time and time again, the truth is in our face, but we choose to ignore it. I just want to mention a little bit about suffering, because this is a patience in suffering. It's a wonderful title, isn't it? Patience in suffering. Sort of, we're doomed. You remember, if any of you watched Dad's Army, you know, that sort of thing. But to get away from the sort of stereotype view, these are some key things about us as people when it comes to suffering. And it's this: we all suffer, but some suffer more than others. Some suffering is more obvious than others, and some is deep in the heart and mind and kept from view by a mask, a facade. Some of us know that. I know that. I kept it up for really a couple of years, fantastically. I can sort of click into the mode of, yeah, everything's all right, when in fact everything inside me is screaming. This is a really hard one here, that some make others suffer because they themselves are suffering deep within. One of the things about people who bully is that somewhere in their life they too have been bullied. And so it's one way of releasing that, and it's projected on other people. We see that. We see it in the church, workplace, see it in families. And this is a hard one too. And I know from my own experience that some make themselves suffer by trying to mask the pain. How many of us have done that? That we don't want people to know that we're hurting. So we put on a brave face. And then we explode. And then we've got the sort of position where we then find it very difficult to deal with life. And as we know from the stats, that 1 in 6 people has severe mental health problems. And we know that the suicide rate in young men particularly is through the roof. And it's likely that many of us here this morning know something of this in our life experience. Not that any of you are expecting that you would be suicidal. But why is this? Why is there suffering? Simply, we fell from grace. We were outside of God's ways. But also, it's a part of our DNA. Human nature is the most natural thing for us to do, is either to do something to others to relieve the pain that we have when we suffer, or we internalize it and make ourselves suffer. And if any of you are in that position, then talk to us about it. Get help. Because it's not wrong. Somewhat, you know, in the Christian church for a number of years, it was that if you are depressed, you are not living in the love of God and following his ways. You've only got to look at the Psalms, look at David. I'm sure he was bipolar, you know. But we need to be open and honest with each other. So that's the bit on suffering. All right. Sometimes we'll say, I'm going to suffer because I've lost my job. What God wants us to do in that instance and in other instances is to start to turn it around, looking at the aspect of suffering as a positive, and that we learn to be patient as we seek God for an outcome. So that's the hard bit out of the way, I hope. In the Anglican Confession, it says this. It says, God, we this is a paraphrase of it. God, we follow too much the ways and desires of our own hearts, not yours. And we offend you because we don't keep your law. We don't complete the things we should have done and do the things to suit ourselves and not you. We are truly unhealthy. Your truth isn't in us. I wonder if when we are getting angry in a situation that's not working our way, is it because we want things to happen? It's for our own benefit. Or actually, are we looking into God and saying, my attitude's not right? You've told me to wait, and I'm champing at the bit for it to get done. And we know that, look at the mental health studies, is that people are trying too hard for too long without rest. And that's something that we need to be careful of and mindful of, even within the church, where often it is the few that do the most. One encouragement about patience in suffering is in 1 Peter 1. It says, now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Hands up if you've had a brief trial. You see, look, we're so scared about putting our hand up to say, yeah, we've had a bad run. Who's had a bad run? Come on, let's be honest. We've all, at some point in our lives, have had a bad run. So now for a little while, you may have had to suffer a grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, honour when Jesus is revealed. And this is what James is saying, that in this context about waiting patiently, being strong, don't complain, look at other people's examples. What he's saying here is, look, at this moment in time, this is really hard, but look at what the future is. Look at what you have been born into. Look at the greatness of Father God, who is by you. All you've got to do is to stop looking at yourself and saying, why me? And actually look to the Father and ask him for that richness of blessing that he can bring you. I like Matthew Henry. He was a sort of 16th, 17th century theologian. And it was interesting to sort of read what he was saying about this passage and some of the things that I've highlighted here. I encourage you that if you want to look at Matthew Henry, if you can get past the sort of archaic language, it's really, really interesting. And there are four things about the patience and suffering that we're going to share here. So in verse 7, we need to be patient in all things. Friends, wait patiently for the master's arrival. You see, farmers do this all the time, waiting for their valuable crops to mature, patiently letting the rain do its slow but sure work. Be patient like that. There's a lot of patient waiting here, isn't there? This patient waiting, is this the way we should deal with our anxieties and difficulties? What's James saying here? Is he going, go off on one and get it out of your system? He's not, is he? He's saying, plant the seeds, the rain's coming down, wait for it to grow. What's he saying there? It's about God's timing, in your circumstances. And also, this is not about brave endurance. It's more like actively dealing with worry and anxiety. So that's not sitting there and going, heap some more coals on me, please. It's about the opposite. God wants us to be proactive. Also in here as well, there's an element of restraining yourself from acting hastily. You're in a situation, so you've got to resolve it straight away. And that resolution actually makes it worse. Often that's by saying completely the wrong thing. And I do that quite a bit. Don't like Coral, if you listen to this. The big one we find, not being impatient. I heard it said that when, you know, there was sort of musing when we first started Newfield. He's going, oh, there aren't anybody coming. There isn't anyone coming. So it's a good idea because there's nobody from out there coming yet. Got the wrong end of the stick. Let's be real. God has purposed his timing for us. And we're not suffering by waiting for people. In fact, if God is bringing us into the right place, it's in his time. We need to be patient in all things. And there's the one that we human nature does brilliantly. Let's blame others or God for the situation we're in. Let's blame someone. Makes you feel better. Who feels better when you blame someone else and you can walk away? When I used to have an open door policy when I was working. Someone would come in my office, offload everything. It's your fault. Walk away. And then you go, oh, how often do we do that? Because of something that's in us, we have to put it on somebody else and blame them because it makes us feel better. That's not waiting before God, is it? All we're doing is laying a burden on someone else when we should be giving it to God. Patience is one of the spiritual fruit, but sometimes I feel that I'm not letting it grow when facing a challenge. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. We can go on. Are you letting patience grow in the circumstances that you're in and the challenging circumstances you're in? I don't know what it's like, as you know, with Mimi going through or you going through quite high level cancer treatment. And there must have been times when you're feeling, why are you doing this to me, God? But his outcome is always perfect. Always perfect. And as a family of God, the support we give someone at that level of physical crisis, we should also be waiting patiently and praying patiently alongside those who struggle with the day-to-day. It's been a real privilege helping Linda, you know. Linda's had a bucket load of stuff over the years. And she's had to wait patiently. And she has. And God is blessing her now. It's his time for her blessing. Linda was not a failure in her faith or in the position. It's just that she had to wait for God's perfect time. And we've been a part of that perfect time. And there will be others who will be, we will be a part of that perfect time. Patience. We need to be patient in all things. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and Sermon on the Mount, it said this, so my counsel is, don't worry about things. Oh, so easy, isn't it? Will all your worries add a single moment to your life? So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Now, for someone who was diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, I read that and I go, Because someone comes along, you know, going, oh, don't worry. Oh, I've never been depressed. Don't worry. Thank you. That's really helping me. And I can laugh about it now. But when you're there, those comforting words from a Job comforter is the opposite. But it's true. God is there. We don't need to worry. If Christ is in our lives and the people around us are living in the Word of God, then together we share. So James, we're going to move into James, but he says, stay steady and strong. That's really hard, isn't it? It's easy to say, but hard to deliver. You stay steady and strong. And you go, yeah, amen. But how are you going to help me do it? Oh, God will help you. It's not about that. We're family. You know, family rub each other up. But the bottom line, if someone was in a position, we would be who would be the first one to go and help them? That's why we've had the privilege of doing that for Linda. It's what God wants from family. Whatever family do, and we know family is very difficult, God as Father is there for each one of us with the same measure. We're all special. And sometimes we feel that there should be a pecking order, but the only pecking order is servanthood. What about this thing in verse 8, which is the steady and strong? That Matthew Henry says, he uses the word establish. Not establish, establish our hearts in the faith we profess. I like that, because that's a real sort of like doing word, putting it down, drilling it in. And James here is reminding us that our faith that's based on the biblical truths help us to stay steady and strong in the power of the Spirit and in the will of God, as we read in Galatians 5. Let the Spirit direct you, and you will not satisfy the desire of your human heart. Coming back to patience, our hearts are not patient hearts. They can't wait. Our culture is now based on 3-minute sound bites, and anything more than 5 minutes, we turn off. Unless it's EastEnders, but that should be turned off anyway, I think. But, sorry if you like EastEnders. But that's the way it is. Is the Spirit of God directing you in your waiting? Is he giving you the peace in your waiting? Well, we need to ask. That needs to be based on our understanding of Scripture. And I'm so pleased that here, at Newfield, we are Bible based. That Scripture is central to what we do. Because we can all go around with the self actualization and the sort of self awareness and go, God loves you. We can just get by on love and float off and do nice works. But what happens when the ground splits? What happens when the earthquake comes? What happens when we're confronted with something that's outside our comfort zone? What supports us? Is it sand or is it rock? James is saying, establish your heart on the Word of God and let him cover you. If we allow the Spirit of God to direct, then these are the promises that we got, and that we will go to God in all our difficulties. We will seek his strength through prayer and devotion. We will ask for blessing, restoration and healing, whether that is in the wholeness of the physical or the wholeness of a new life promised in heaven. But we can ask. We know he is the God who raised the dead. You know, we've got an awesome God. Be patient in this. We respond to the suffering according to the will of God. There's just a few questions just before we come to the last bit. I know we're slightly overrun here, which is about complaining. But here's the questions then, is that do I truly want to give God my needs, or do I enjoy being the needy one? That's pretty hard, isn't it? Some of us actually enjoy being the needy one. We sort of make it sort of our will to always go on about how we feel, situations we're in. There's a need for that, but let not that be what people see of us. But let people see how you are waiting patiently with God in your circumstance. I've had to learn that. You know, it'd be great to come up and go, yeah, I'm off the medication and God just whammed me with a spirit and now I've got no anxieties and I'm never depressed anymore. Wouldn't it be great? You can do that. But for me, the time isn't right. Maybe I'll be depressed and go through phases until I'm called home. It's sort of, there are a number of things that God has allowed, you know, even within the Bible, read about Paul and his thorn in the side, that it's not just about made complete, made whole at once. And this is what we're looking at, is the patience, is learning to be patient in the physical or emotional circumstances you find yourself. There are some things that we will suffer from that God allows that we need to bring to him. And that's the whole purpose of what James is saying, is that don't dwell in your own circumstances, but come to God. Is that, so do I truly want to give God my needs, or do I enjoy being the needy one? Is the patience of God in suffering, all right, a quality in me that it's evident that my heart, that it's in my heart? Or am I hasty, impatient, irritated by watching and waiting? And I think sometimes we are irritated by watching and waiting. So, and am I truly wanting to stay steady and strong even during the challenges I face so that people see Jesus working in me? And I think that probably answers your question. And yes, that is. And then do I really want God's Spirit to direct me so I satisfy him and not myself? I mean, these are questions that when we read the passage, we can sort of think about our own situation. But really, towards the end of it, James is going on about don't complain about each other. And James uses this wonderful Greek word that actually has these roots to complain, to groan, to murmur, and to grumble. And that in itself is something that often we can be in dark, difficult situation. Matthew Henry says this, that do not make one another uneasy by your murmuring groans at what befalls you, nor by your distrustful groans as to what may further come upon you, nor by your revengeful groans against the instruments of your sufferings, nor by your envious groans at those who may be free from your calamities. Do not make yourselves uneasy and make one another uneasy by thus groaning to and grieving one another. I love that. Basically, he's saying, don't milk it, but share it in an appropriate way. That's putting old language into today. But really, with all of this about the restoration and waiting and being patient, it is something we have to learn to do together. And that does mean, as James is saying, is to remember your root. Remember what spurs you on in the first place, that you actually are now in the culture and the family of God, not in the culture and the family of man. And this is why he uses the examples of Job. When we look at verses 10 and to 11. And we may feel that a situation, an illness or a hurt is unique to our own circumstance, but somewhere, someone somewhere has been there, felt it, cried out to God, experienced the pain of another's loose words to them, shattered hopes, idle promises. We could write a whole list of that. But your love, God, never fails, and it never gives up on me. So what James is trying to do is to encourage us to listen to God's word. He's encouraging us to remind ourselves that a part of our life in Christ is waiting before receiving. And it's reminding ourselves that whatever the intensity of the storm, God is with us. So we need to be encouraged as we read God's word to remind ourselves that this is the promise of God to set captives free. Lord, be our peace in the circumstances we face, in the trials and the temptations and the needs. Lord, I just ask that you will show us your blessing through your word. Show us your blessing through each other. Lord, encourage us to walk together. Help us, Lord, to start today with that, so that you can be a blessing to the people around us, Lord. So help us through that, we pray. Bless your name. Amen.